This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض فاحكم بين الناس بالحق ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله، إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, we have a very pertinent topic to discuss today. And that is how we could free ourselves from the clutches, the slavery of our ego and our nafs, and liberate our souls by coming into the worship, the servitude, and the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Now, let me quiz you a little bit, and perhaps you never gave thought to this, but this is something that's going to set the tone for us to build on and progress in our talk. Generally, whenever a person commits a mistake, he or she, we blame the devil for that wrong. And without doubt, the devil has a share in every wrong that we perpetrate. So the Quran also makes references to this. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. That when the Prophet Yusuf was in the jail, and with him was an inmate, and this inmate was about to be liberated, then the Prophet Yusuf, peace be upon him, said to this fellow inmate that when you go to the king and you will be reinstated as the wine bearer for the king, then please whisper in his ears that there's an innocent man sitting in the jail. But as is the nature of man, when you sit in soft and comfortable, then we generally forget the pain and the agony of those that are in distress. So the Quran makes reference to this incident, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. The devil made him forget. Likewise, when the Prophet Moses was traveling, and with him was the young man who subsequently became a Nabi, Yusha ibn Nun, and the Prophet Moses told him that when you find miraculously that the fish hops out from this bag, from this basket into the water, then you must notify me. And the incident is mentioned in the Quran. I don't want to go into the details, but just mention one thing. So again, he says, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. That nothing made me forget, despite witnessing this miracle, but the devil. Now here's my question to you, brothers and sisters. When Allah told the devil, who wasn't the devil at that time, Allah told him to prostrate to Adam, and the scholars say the injunction was given to both the angels and the jinn, and the devil refused and displayed arrogance and pride. Who made the devil refuse? We say the devil made us do the wrong. Who is the devil going to blame? And the answer is one and simple. It was the ego and the nafs of the devil within him that provoked him and incited him and told him not to prostrate, and ultimately resulted in the devil becoming a devil himself. There are periods of time where the devil is shackled and chained, and that is Ramadan, but the human ego is never shackled and is never detained. Malik bin Dinar was walking, the great saint, and the great sage of the age. And as he was walking, there were some kids that were playing. Boy playing with some sand. Occasionally there's a tear in his eye. Occasionally there's a chuckle on his face. Bit of contradicting emotions. Be it as it may, Malik ibn Dinar observed and he moved on. As he moved on, there was a whisper within him that said, listen Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to greet children. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yusallimu ala sibyan. So I should go back and perhaps greet the boy. So after going forward, reflecting, he takes a step or two back and he approaches the little kid that's playing and he says, assalamu alaikum little boy. So the boy, very, very matured, very articulate, very methodical, very calculated, he says, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah ya Malik. He responds in a very audible and a matured and intellectual way. So Malik bin Dinar then asks the boy, you sound like a boy of intelligence and wisdom. Can I engage you and ask you a question? He said, yes, go for it. If we want to speak to a kid, we're going to ask him sports, we're going to ask him hobbies, we're going to ask him interests, we're going to ask him all the other things. But the dialogue of the pious revolved around deen and faith. So his question to the little boy was, مَلْ فَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْعَقْلِ وَالنَّفْسِ. What is the difference between the human intellect and the human ego? What is the difference between the human intellect and the human ego? He said, Malik, you really want to hear? He says, of course I want to hear, that is why I'm asking you. He said, well then listen properly. نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ وَعَقْلُكَ الَّذِي حَرَّضَكَ عَلَيْهِ. Your ego is what told you, ignore the boy and walk away. Because he's a kid, he's not an adult. I don't have to give him much intention, much regard and much attention. While it was your intellect that said, no, respect the boy. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us respect and regard for kids, adults, male, females. Nay, he has taught us respect for the animal kingdom. Subhanallah. What a profound answer. The verse that I recited before you, Allah gave three instructions to the Prophet David, peace be upon him. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifa. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Oh Dawood, we've made you a deputy on this earth. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Number one, you should execute your rulings and you should pronounce your verdicts with absolute truth and honesty. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And do not succumb and surrender to the provocation and the incitement of your ego, because that is the recipe for disaster. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said in one particular poem of his, which is a very long poem, but I will just extract the relevant stanza. إِلَيْكَ إِلَهَ الْخَلْقِ أَرْفَعُ رَغْبَتِي وَإِنْ كُنْتُ يَا ذَا الْمَنِّ وَالْجُودِ مُجْرِمًا وَلَمَّا قَصَى قَلْبِي وَذَاقَتْ مَذَاهِبِي جعلت الرجا مني لعفوك سلما تعاظمني ذنبي فلما قرنته بعفوك ربي كان عفوك أعظما خف الله وارجه لكل عظيمة ولا تطع النفس اللجوج فتندما. And that's the point that I want to reference in the entire poem. ولا تطع النفس اللجوج. Do not succumb to this ego. Do not succumb to this ego. Why? فَتَنْدَمَا. Many a times your regrets will be irreversible. Irreversible. The scholars give us a beautiful analogy. What's the analogy? You have the human body, and then you have the human ego and the human soul. Now the casing is not the actual human. It's not the external, because this evolves. And when we'll be lowered into the grave, it will disintegrate. It is the soul that is the actual human. But the analogy of the ego is like a person who gets on the back of a horse. I don't know how much of you are into horse riding, and perhaps you had exposure or you went on a horse ride. You would know that when you get on the back of a horse, the horse can examine the confidence of the rider. So the horse will try out the confidence of the person mounted on his back. The horse would be obstinate, non-compliant, and the horse would see how much authority, power, and clout and muscle you have. If you know how to grip this animal, hold the reins, maintain it, then this horse would comply, and as the Quran swears, oath upon oath, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا, that the horse would take its rider on its back, endanger its own life to bring victory to its master. But if you show weakness to that horse, then you become a dummy on the back, and the horse rides you. When I say the horse rides you, the horse doesn't comply to your signal. You're just a dummy on the back. You're an artificial person. The horse would graze when it wants to graze. It would relax when it wants to relax. And it will not deliver its optimum. Trust me, my brother, and listen to me, my sister. That's precisely the analogy of your ego. Your ego is going to send you these whispers to do the wrong, to peruse the net, to see porn, to indulge in the forbidden, to sit and listen to music, to ignore and shun the orders of Allah. That whispers will remain. Either we succumb to that and then we become dummies and our ego dictates to us. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said in one poem, Ma akthar an-nas. Oh, mankind is so great in number. Recent census say that there's close to 7 billion that inhabit the planet. Ma akthar an-nas. Then he pauses. لا بل ما أقلهم. No, I'm mistaken. Actually, they're not so many. والله يعلم أني لم أقل فندا. And Allah knows what I'm saying is the absolute truth. إني لأفتح عيني حين أفتحها على كثير ولكن لا أرى أحدا. I open my eye and I see millions of creatures, but I don't find a single human. I see millions of creatures that have inhabited the earth, that have occupied the planet. But yes, they're creatures. They don't have what it takes to be human and being the best of Allah's creation. So what happens is when you succumb to that ego, then it's just a life of sin, a life of indulgence, a life of vice, and there's no productivity in that life. And that's precisely what the ego wants. It's just a life of eating, sleeping. Now look at the verse of the Quran. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The one who fears the interview with his Lord and restrains his ego, then surely paradise is his abode. Easier said than done. Put one foot on your ego and the next foot in paradise. I always say to prospective couples, and tomorrow we have a workshop on marriage as well, and I'm going to use the same context here as well. It's very easy to get married, but very difficult to remain married. It's very easy to become a Muslim, but very challenging to remain a Muslim. It is easier to memorize the Quran, but very difficult to remain a Hafiz, and so on and so forth. You want to bring someone into the fold of Islam? It's simple, it's quick, it's easy. He takes the Shahada and he or she is a Muslim. But to remain a Muslim, it's a lifelong challenge. To get married, subhanallah, the marriage itself is not challenging. But to remain married, they say don't praise the marriage on the third day, praise it on the third year. because now there's challenges in it. Put your one foot on the ego and the next foot in paradise. But to master the courage and to put your foot on that ego, it takes a lifelong of effort. It takes a lifelong effort. What are the typical provocations of the ego? The ego believes and it enjoys being inflated. Every person's ego, that is what it wants. In fact, I often say we live in a world where people have become so desperate for fame and recognition that many people resort to do things that are incorrect, unlawful, that are not sensible, just to hit the papers and become famous. So a person will do something bizarre and something crazy and something ludicrous just so that you can recognize him, that you know what, there is someone in the world and he exists or she exists. That is how desperate we've become for fame. The other thing of the ego is that I perceive myself to be correct and I consider everybody else to be inferior, myself to be superior and everybody else to be inferior. Now look at these teachings. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi had passed it on to us. He said, "Anna i'tiqadaka fi nafsik annaka khayrun min ghayrik." When you have this whisper within you that I am superior to my brother, I am senior to my sister, I am greater than others, then surely that is the whisper of the devil himself. And then he gives us some practical steps to deflate our ego, to deflate it. When it's inflated, to deflate it. And what are the practical steps? He said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ صَغِيرًا. When you see a child, a kid, your ego will whisper to you that I am better than him. He's a kid, he doesn't know anything, he hasn't achieved anything. No, instead you should say to your ego, هَذَا لَمْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُهُ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This is a child, he's pure, he's sinless, he hasn't committed a crime, surely he is better in the sight of Allah than I am. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَبِيرًا. And when you see an adult and someone more senior to you in age, then you say to yourself, not that he is sinning before me, so he is more wicked than I am. You say to yourself, هَذَا عَبَدَ اللَّهَ قَبْلِي فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This man or this woman is my senior, so he or she has been worshipping Allah way before me. Undoubtedly, he is better in the eyes of Allah than I am. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ جَاهِلًا. When you see an ignorant person doing something wrong, you say to yourself, هَذَا عَصَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلٍ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرٍ. He has done or she has done what they have done because of ignorance. They don't know better. But myself, Allah has given me the understanding. I can differentiate, yet I commit the wrong. Surely my condition is much more evil in the eyes of Allah than this person. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَالِمًا. And when you see a scholar and you see a learned person, you say, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُغْ فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلًا. This person is much more learned than I am. He or she possesses much more knowledge than I have. How can I even imagine that I'm better than that person? Undoubtedly, they are better than me. And it doesn't end there. When you see a disbeliever, you see, these are all the tricks of the ego. The ego has a lot of tricks. When you see a disbeliever, you say to yourself, عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ اللَّهُ وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَعَسَىٰ أَن يُضِلَّنِيَ اللَّهُ. It is highly possible that Allah will guide this non-Muslim to the truth. And it is equally possible that Allah can snatch faith away from me before I die. فَيَكُونُ غَدًا هُوَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ وَأَكُونُ أَنَا مِنَ الْمُبَعْدِينَ. So tomorrow he or she will be closer to Allah, and my condition will be that I will be rejected. Yesterday, Brother Sheikh Wissam was mentioning of a sister in America in her early 20s who reverted to Islam, memorized the Quran, studied the Qira'at al-Sab'ah, memorized 40 ahadith in 2 days. Subhanallah, a revert took the Shahada, memorized the Quran, dedicated herself to the sciences of the Quran. Allah can change the destiny of any person at any time. Sayyidina Umar was walking with his entourage, and I have a dedicated slot today on the life of Umar, inshallah. And as he was walking, a whisper came within him. And the whisper was, Umar, you the legend. Umar, you the great. Umar, you the man. Look at those around you, man. They salute in you, they revere in you, they honor in you. You're the absolute hero. But look at these people. As soon as he got this whisper, he ordered that everybody must congregate in the masjid. As-salatu jami'a, congregate. When they congregate in the masjid, he says, listen folks, sorry to disturb you, but I need to tell you that when I was a young boy in my pre-Islamic era, I used to take the sheep and the flock of sheep and graze it. And then end of the day, I would get some dates, or they would pay me pittance, some simple amount in remuneration for my activities. But that's about it. And thank you for coming. You can leave. What? What are you talking? I mean, we're busy with our activities. You summon us in the masjid. We converge and congregate. And then you tell us that you were a shepherd and they were giving you dates and pittance. Like, what's the correlation? What's the tie? And he said, I was walking, and then a whisper came within me. A whisper came within me. And what was this whisper? Umar, you the great. You amazing. And at that time, I needed to. You know, in English, they say, don't pat yourself on your shoulder. You might just dislocate it. Don't pat yourself on your shoulder. You might just dislocate it. They say a person who is conceited, his head expands, but his brain shrinks. A person who's conceited, his head expands, but his brain shrinks. Wrapped up in himself. And that's typically what the problem today is. That's the ego. So he said, the whisper had come within me, and I needed to deflate my ego at that very same time. Hence I called upon you, and I apologize if I imposed on you, but I have surely set my ego in place. Allahu Akbar. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about pride, and a noble companion said, I love to be meticulous in my dressing and in my appearance and look of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. Pride or wearing exclusive dress does not constitute pride. But to wear something beautiful and exclusive and consider yourself superior because of that brand and consider others inferior because of that, that is pride. So we have our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. This great, amazing woman in the annals of Islamic history. She was a woman like no other woman. As any woman, she had dressed up and she was looking into the mirror and obviously attiring herself and, you know, presenting herself. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed by and he says to her, مَا تَنْظُرِينَ يَا عَيْشَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِنَاظِرِينَ إِلَيْكَ. Oh Aisha, what are you admiring? Because Allah is not admiring you. Oh Aisha, what are you admiring? Because Allah is not admiring you. Why is Allah not admiring me? Don't you know, my daughter, when a person, male or female, adorns him or herself, and they feel obsessed and impressed and they feel inflated about that. مَقَتَهُ رَبُّهُ حَتَّى يُفَارِقَ تِلْكَ الزِّينَةَ. Then Allah dislikes that action until he or she abandons that pride. But these were the great people of Islam. No sooner did our mother Aisha radiallahu anha hear this, immediately she took off her garment and gave it in charity. Now I want to share with you a beautiful incident, and I will try and just summarize it because it's a bit lengthy. Again, addressing the ego. And I promise you, my brother, and I promise you, my sister, in coming out of the slavery of your ego and becoming the true slave of Allah, there is true liberation. And in the apparent indulgence and in the apparent compliance of your ego, there is misery. When I say apparent, what I'm trying to say here is that a person feels, no, that is life, that's amazing. Eat, woman, wine, drink, club, pub, do whatever you want to, just party. But see the consequences of that life. Study the statistics of suicide. You would think, or I would think, suicide would be found in abject poverty. But ironically, suicide is far more higher and common in affluent and elite communities. Those who got all going for them. Why? Because in the language of your ego, there is never enough. That's it. So when you try and understand, how can a person molest? How can a person rape? How can a person perpetrate incest? How do you do such heinous crimes? And then you realize that you surrender to your ego, and the ego has a greater demand, and you surrender to that, and the ego, and it continues and continues, and there's no limit to it. The ego continues. So the ego, it's never enough. The word enough, satisfaction, doesn't feature. And yet, Islam, I was flying in Australia, and I won't forget this incident. It left an indelible impression. So I was taking an internal flight for a program, and it was the month of Ramadan, and Alhamdulillah, Allah made it possible. We were observing the fast. Obviously, Islam has given us the concession. People say, oh, you're fasting, you're traveling. No. Islam has given us the concession. And equally, Allah said, if you can fast, it is greater. وَأَنْتَ صُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. So Islam is very pragmatic. Islam is very practical. هُوَ جَتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has selected you and He has not made things complicated for you in faith. There is legislated concession. There is legislated concession. That's the beauty of Islam. So we're not at liberty to pronounce our own rulings or create our own concessions. But there is legislated concession. So anyway, as I'm traveling, I'm fasting. Now they had some restrictions on alcohol consumption in the flight, because passengers obviously can become hazardous if they overconsume. And you could only order a particular alcoholic beverage every hour or 2 hours or whatever it is. And I'm sitting and there's a gentleman close up to me and he orders a particular alcoholic beverage and he drinks it. And after a little while, before the duration lapses, he calls one of the flight attendants and he says, can I have another drink? And they said, listen, sir, the time hasn't lapsed. We have a particular time because we need to manage the passengers as well. And the urge within him is becoming restless and is becoming uneasy. And after a little while he asks again, and they say, listen, sir, please, when the time lapses and it's okay for you, we will let you know. And I'm looking at this and I said, exactly, this is the human ego. Allah has made it mandatory upon us to fast, and hence I was fasting. And I said, that's the beauty of Islam. The ego has been suppressed. It knows that from dawn to dusk, there's going to be no desire. There's going to be no fulfillment. And it's just at bay and it's just sitting. And as soon as you feed in this ego, the desire and the urge is just going higher and higher and higher and nonstop. And it continues. My dad says this often, and I've quoted it in my talks. Look at the world today. It's so ironical. You have the tobacco industry, which is a thriving industry. which is a booming industry, which never suffers a setback. And then you have a billboard, and on the billboard it's written clearly, smoking kills, causes cancer, not safe for pregnant women. And the gentleman walks in the shop and he says, can I have a pack of cigarettes, please? Which one? The one that causes cancer. Can I have the pack of cigarettes, the one that kills? What? What are you saying? You have no company makes anti-advertisement. Nobody does anti-advertising. Everybody does pro-advertising. You promote your article, you give it recognition, you give it mileage, you give it a slot, you give it, everybody wants to promote. But obviously this is our world, and you know, there's a beautiful article Khalid Beg has written, and that's about the cell phone. And he says, we are a nation blessed and cursed by our innovation. Wow. We are a nation blessed and cursed. It's together, it's inseparable, our prosperity and our setbacks. So let's look at our mobile phone today. It has made life so much easier, but yet it has made it so challenging, because so much of the fiber of society has collapsed due to these evils. But you've got to put out the harms of cigarettes to cover your back against any legal recourse. Otherwise, the legal fraternity will be on your case to say that I smoked and then I developed lung cancer and this happened and that happened. So you got to say that, listen, in bold printing, I have put it out and I have told people and I have, you know, conscientized people. But the world has become such that we are so driven by our ego, regardless of what is being posted out there, we look beyond and we succumb. He is a strong man. She is a strong woman who has the muscle, the clout, the strength, and the resilience to suppress their ego. The beauty of Islam is, it doesn't call upon you to abandon all your needs, but it regulates it. That yes, there is a need to eat, but eat in moderation. And that's the beauty. Someone said in the English language, if the Almighty didn't make eating and drinking a source of pleasure, a source of pleasure and need, can you imagine how tiresome it would have been to eat every day? Oh, we got to eat again. Oh, we got to drink again. Oh, we got to sleep again. But subhanallah, it's a need and a pleasure. So it has become so easy. In fact, I often say, how ironic is the world? There are some that are waiting to get hungry so they can eat. And there are others who are hungry and are waiting to lay their hands on food. Just look at the discrepancy in the world. So coming back to the point that I was saying is, we've got to control our ego. There is this incident mentioned in the Quran that Talut, and that is where we stand today, Talut was traveling. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنِ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. Wow. Talut was going with his army. The people asked him that we are having challenges against a tyrant, against a dictator, against an autocrat, against a man who's abusing us. Please assist us. So Talut is crossing over a river. The Quran speaks about it in Surah Baqarah, in the second chapter of the Quran and the second juz as well. And he says to them, listen, before we go and meet this tyrant in the battle, we are going to cross a river of water. And Allah wants to test you. Allah wants to test you. That's it. So you're going to cross this river of water. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده. When you get close and you're going to see this water, it's going to look very beautiful, very soothing, very quenching, very wholesome. But Allah wants to test you, don't drink this water. However, if you just take a sip or two, that's fine. That's fine. Look at the beauty of the Quran. If you take a sip or two, that's fine. And if you drink in large quantities, then you are not from amongst me and I am not from amongst you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. Allah is going to test you with this river. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. He who indulges and drinks it, he's not from amongst me. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. And if you resist the temptation, you resist it. And that's what Allah loves. You know, brothers and sisters, when a person is tempted and the ego is telling you, do this, and there's this battle, and this battle is going to be fought for the rest of your life. Salma bin Dinar said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَّا وَيُقْبِلُ عَلَىٰ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ عِلْمُهُ وَهَوَاهُ ثُمَّ يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاسِمَيْنِ. Every day when the sun rises, there is a fresh battle that is fought on the bosom of every believer. There is this war that takes place on the chest of a Muslim. The urge to evil and the whisper to virtue. And this continues daily. فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَاهُ فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَاهُ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ غُنْمٍ لَهُ. And if you muster the courage and you say no, and there's no quick fix, there's no simple remedy, it's a matter of pulling yourself together, begging for the guidance of Allah, and going through that emotion and overcoming it. If you suppress your ego, then consider that day to be an Eid in your life. It's a festival in your life. You can be ecstatic. You can be jubilant. It's a euphoric moment, right? It's a joy that cannot be described. Why? Because Allah gave me the strength to suppress my ego and to comply to Him. But flip the coin and reverse the scenario. وَإِذَا غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ عِلْمَهُ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ خُسْرَانٍ عَلَيْهِ. But if you succumb to that, and you surrendered to it, and you complied with the dictates of that ego, then I'm afraid that is the worst day in your life, even if it happens to coincide with the day of Eid, even if it is the day of celebration, but you're a loser in the eyes of Allah, because today your ego has taken the better of you. So anyway, they cross by the water, and he says that Allah is going to test you. If you don't drink, then you are from amongst me. Now, when a person is resisting the temptation, there is a tantrum that the ego will throw out. But we're just going to manage it. We have to manage it. Withdrawal symptoms. Withdrawal symptoms. It cannot be that easy. Right? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, the height of virtue is to overcome an evil habit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ فَصَدِّقُوا. If somebody tells you that a mountain has moved, then believe him. But if a person tells you that somebody has abandoned an evil habit, don't believe him. In other words, it's easier for a mountain to move. It's easier for a mountain to move than to abandon an evil habit. Old habits die hard, as the English proverb goes. But coming back to this here, and I don't want to digress too much. Whoever will cross it and don't drink from the water, he's part of me. And if you drink from it, then I'm afraid you are not part of me. They get to it. They had all this desire, all this fervor, all this enthusiasm. When they come to the water, it's irresistible. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Immediately they start gulping the water in volumes and gallons. As soon as they drank it, now look at the irony of the whole thing. Now this is something thought-provoking, my brother, and I hope it resonates with you and with me, and it makes an indelible impression on you and me. The ironic thing was, those who drank the water, despite them being told not to drink, momentarily it quenched their thirst, but in reality it aggravated it. So they became more thirsty than what they were. And then what happened? As soon as they drank from it, weakness settled into their body. They said, no, you know what, Talut, we're not interested. We're feeling lame. We're feeling lethargic. Let's look at a person at the time of Dhuhr in the month of Ramadan. You're tired, you're exhausted. But when you offer that Dhuhr, there's a pleasure in it. There's a spirituality in it. And then when it comes to Isha, and because you've overindulged, now, you know what? That Taraweeh Salah becomes burden upon us. And, you know, forgive me, you're burping from the front and the back. And now you're releasing flatulence. And it becomes this and that. Why? Because you are too heavy. You've taken it to the maximum. And those who drank little bit only, their thirst was quenched and their strength remained intact. And that is precisely what the scholars teach us and tell us, that when a person drinks from this world, meaning by extension eats, drinks, enjoys, and indulges in the legitimate, in the permissible, to the extent of necessity, as regulated by the prophetic teachings, then the benefit of that will be twofold. A, his belly will be satiated, his thirst will be quenched, and he would be left with drive and strength and vigor. But on the reverse, if you continue to drink, there will be no end to it. I leave you with this English quotation, and I've said it many a times. They say, every time you succumb to a vice, you get a temporary relief, but the vice gets a tighter grip around you. Every time you succumb to a vice, whatever your addiction is, if it is drug, Allah forgive. If it is porn, Allah forgive. If it is any other crime, whatever your sin is and your ego. And another thing I must say to you, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, he said, your ego will only provoke you to the wrong that you've accustomed it to. So you say, I don't know why I can't cross this hurdle in life. I don't know why. I repent and then I revert. I repent and I revert. Why? Because you've given yourself that bad habit. I've given myself this bad habit. Whatever habit I have created within myself, my ego knows my weak point. And I will continue being incited and provoked until I show the horse that I'm holding the reins and I will ride. And when I ride, then I will tell you when you will have hay and when you will have water and when you will ride and how swift I will gallop and how you will trot, because I'm the rider. And if I'm on your back as a dummy, you'll flip me off. You'll flip me off. It will look like I'm riding. But sometimes you tell a man, is that your son? He says, yeah, he's my son, but in reality, he's my father. In reality, he's my father. Meaning I'm the biological father, but if you really look at it, I obey him more than he obeys me. So I'm really not the father. And again, it's a separate talk of it all together where we need to have that relation. You know, I shared this on a light-hearted note and I'll end with it. The boy was studying abroad and he wrote a telegram to his dad in those days. Now it's a text message. No man, no fun, your son. No man, no fun, your son. So the father was also very witty. He replied, too bad, too sad, your dad. Anyway, on that note, we wrap up and we ask the Almighty to make us amongst those people that have the strength, the might, the courage, the power to say no to our ego and to say yes to our Creator and to develop that strength. It's a journey, it's a battle, it continues. It's only at the time of death, when we die with Iman, hopefully may Allah make us amongst them, that the journey ends. But then look at the beauty of it, look at the beauty. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. If you fear the interview of your Lord and you suppress your ego, then paradise is yours. Now when Allah speaks of paradise, did you ever think, my brother and sister, The whole Quran has so many verses. Never in paradise has Allah spoken about in the Quran that in paradise you will be performing prayer and you will be reciting Quran and you will be worshipping. The whole discussion of paradise is regarding indulging yourself in eating, in drinking, in being intimate with your spouse, in enjoying comfort, rivers beneath it, having palatial homes, having the best of foods, lahmi tayrim mimma yashtahoon, birds of your choice. I'm wrapping up. And drinks, la yusadda'oon, no headache, no intoxication, ma'im maskub, flowing water, fakihatin kathira, fruit of your choice, spouses of your choice, fi maq'adi sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir. So what is Allah telling you? Allah is saying, discipline yourself, control your ego in this world, and every whisper, every desire, every need of your ego, I will satisfy in this world. In this world, the world doesn't have the capacity to satisfy every desire. So if a man is sitting and is hungry, and you can give him the best of variety, he can only eat so much. You can give a woman the best of clothing, you can only wear one outfit at a time. You cannot wear more than that. The world doesn't have the capacity. It doesn't have within itself. But in Jannah, you will wear 70 outfits at one time. May Allah free us from the slavery of the ego and make us His true servants. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.